December 25th, 2019. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. We're recording this on the 23rd. Happy Hanukkah to you, sir.
And an early Merry Christmas to you and our many listeners.
Yes, and Merry, Happy, all the other good words to whatever else you recognize at this time. I'm not going to go down the list of what's around this time. Kwanzaa. What else is there?
Festivus.
Festivus. Yep.
Mm. I'm sure there's a winter solstice.
Yep. Absolutely. So
happy, whatever makes you happy.
Merry, happy. Living a better life sometimes means having the better Santa come around your house and gift you gifts of gambling joy. Eric, I heard that Santa confused you for someone who might celebrate Christmas and made a delivery to you, because I don't think there's quite eight in the box there, so I can't try to that was a mistake on my part.
Yeah, you definitely should have done eight, you dick.
I know. I know. And you know what? You know what I thought of it? It's when I was leaving the post office. I was like, oh, wait. I should have put eight in Eric's package.
Even more insulting, there's 12. You gave me 12, not eight, 12.
Well, there's Driver.
Hey, Driver. Yeah. He's becoming a consistent part of the show.
He is.
He might have to join the union soon.
Okay, Eric, why don't you go ahead and open your gifts and see what we got here. But before you open, if you are someone who received Better Life, Better Santa gifts, I recommend you pause and do not listen to this until you open those, because there is a little bit of overlap, and I do want to talk to Eric a little bit about my thought process going into this. So please, don't listen to this until you have finished opening your Better Santa packages, and then tell me how much you liked or disliked them, and then listen to this. Okay, go ahead, Eric.
They sucked.
I know.
All of them.
All of them already? While I was giving a disclaimer, you opened all of them and were like, this is shit. What's going on here?
Let me start opening. So I'm wondering, like, what kind of audio content is this going to be?
I have no idea.
All right, we'll see. All right. First one opening up. It is, in fact, a set of tiddlywinks. I hope you can hear my smile.
I want you to know, it was the first thing I thought of when I saw you on the list for the Better Santa. I was like, he's getting tiddlywinks. So
right.
You called it in the last episode we recorded. You said it. I was like, he knows it's coming. But yes, a set of tiddlywinks for my friend Eric.
Okay, up next. It is a framed Joker with Uncle Sam and Republican and Democrat masks.
So that is my gift to Eric Rosenthal. That was going to be your gift this year, anyhow. Or I was going to send it up. I was going to gift you that around this time of year. And then I decided to include it in your package. That is done by a local artist, and I don't know.
There's a card in the back.
Yep, that's the individual who does it.
The individual who does this. Let me get her card out. This is Susan McCara, Torpedo Factory Art Center, 105 North Union Street, Alexandria, Virginia 22314.
Yep. So you'll have to share. Actually, I guess anytime, but because that, like I said, that is specific to you, so you're not spoiling anybody for anything. But for the listeners, I'm sure going to be curious what exactly you're talking about. So you should tweet a picture when you get a chance.
I will. This is thought provoking in many ways, actually.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. I like it. Thank
you. Yeah, you're
welcome. Thank you very much.
Of course.
That is. There's actually a fair amount of nuance to this. The more I look at it, the more I see.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is pretty cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Next up. Mm. Okay, so this makes me happy. It is a craps puck, the on-off puck.
Yes!
Now, this is meaningful because Tim and I have had a number of conversations. He has one of these at his desk at work.
Yes.
And he uses this to show people whether or not he is, in fact, at work, meaning, you know, the number's working or not, Tim's working or not.
That's right.
And actually, I very much appreciate this. This is going on my desk right now as we speak. I will have to hold a training in the new year to inform everybody of its meaning. And everybody's going to be like, wait, that's what you called us in for? Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Dismissed. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And lastly, there is an envelope that said Eric open last. So I am complying with your request. I feel like there should be a Kreskin bit in here, a Karnak bit in here. It's a nice card. It says season's greetings. Of course it is. Of course it is. It is a $5 straight bet to win UEFA Euro 2020 on the Netherlands.
That's right.
Booked at Hollywood Charlestown Casino.
So, you have no idea how disappointed I was to learn that Hollywood, West Virginia, Charlestown does not have a gift shop. I went all the way out there, and I mean, I had like match play. We'll get to this. I had match play and stuff like that to pick up anyways, so it wasn't a waste of trip. But I remember I went out there and like I asked the person checking IDs. I was like, "Do you guys have a gift shop?" He's like, "Not anymore." And I was like, "Ah!" But nonetheless, I found plenty there too. So that is one of the consistent gifts. And by the way, if you ignored my disclaimer and have not opened your Better Life gifts and are listening to this now, this is your fault. But that was a consistent gift across Better Santa participants. Is anybody who signaled that they are a sports bettor got a $5 futures bet in some form in some league.
Can I read the pre and post redacted card?
Yes.
Okay, because I think that actually this is funny. So the unredacted version: wishing you a Merry Christmas filled with old-fashioned pleasures, happy memories, and all the joys of the season. It's actually quite nice, right? But Tim needed to do better. So wishing you a Merry Christmas was crossed out to say Happy Hanukkah, filled with, and then we added an S to old-fashioned, and we struck out pleasures, filled with old-fashions, happy memories, and all the joys was stricken for bets of the season.
Yes.
Very nice. And was signed, do better. Love you, man. Timothy Lawson. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
You are a gentleman and a scholar, and I don't care what Vito says about you.
That's fine. I probably say just as much about Vito, so that's a balanced situation. Very good. Well, I hope by now everybody has opened their Better Life packages. I had a bit for anybody who was curious about the thought process. I got more participants than I expected, and I found myself in this weird situation where I didn't have enough unique items to make every package different from the other, but I also didn't have enough items. I didn't have enough volume of all the items to then just make them to replicate them. And so everybody's is just a little different. There's some unique items out there. I did my best, and I'm confident people are going to enjoy it. So, what was nice is doing all this helped me understand how to do this better. And I'm happy about already thinking about how I could do this differently next year, so it's a little bit easier on me and even more enjoyable for the participants. So, yeah, there we go. Hope everybody enjoyed that.
I did.
Well, that's really all that matters. Very good. I have one, as we're recording this, I actually have one that I'm hand-delivering. He lives in the area. I'm gonna drop by tomorrow and just see if the individual's home and actually hand-deliver their items. So that should be fun. Eric, I did mention that I was in West Virginia. I was out there too, hoping to get gifts, and then I found out that they do not have a gift shop. I had some match play, so I went and played Pai Gal. I had three match play bets. I think I won two, lost one. And the people at the table were pretty chatty, like, "Oh, where are you from?" And I think Hollywood's definitely that casino that during the week, because this was a Monday night, I think, because there's Monday Night Football. Yeah, so during the week, I think that it's mostly regulars, and so if they don't recognize someone, you know, they inquire, and so they're like, "Oh, like, what are you doing out here?" And I was like, "Oh, getting Christmas presents," and they kind of gave this look like, "What?" Little did know that I had just made about 20, I guess more like 15, maybe about 15 futures bets at the counter. I said the same thing to the lady at the counter when I checked all my bets. I was like, "Thanks. Christmas presents." So she kind of looked at me like, "What?" Had some match play, had some dining credit. Tell me about it. So when you use dining credit at a casino, I think this is the first time I've ever had this happen. So like I went to the counter, it's like a food court type of thing they have, and I went to this one style, and I was like, you know, let me get this whatever combo with this, and then I had like $30 of dining credit, and she went to check, and she was like, "Oh, you have $30. Do you want to get anything else?" And I was like, she's like, you know, she's like, "You can only use this one time." So she actually like helped me. Like I got a Red Bull, and then she's like, "Okay, you got enough for a cookie. You want a cookie?" So yeah. Like, she actually helped me maximize the amount of dining credit. I've never had that. They're just like, "Cool." And they swipe and on you go. Yeah, that was nice. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. Glad you helped out there.
Yeah, me too. I think I really have anything else to talk about from West Virginia. Something happened this week that created a little chatter in our community, and that is Jane Scott announced that she is officially retiring from the comp hustle game. I don't know what you want to call it.
Sure.
Yeah.
She was an AP, but she derived much of her value from comps.
You texted me with like, you were like, "Hey, I could talk an hour about what this means. Let's see if we can at least do half that, and then we'll add on whatever we need to." When you saw this, you tweeted out something pretty profound, actually, on like, "Hey, when APs like this make these sort of decisions, pay attention." And I'm paraphrasing you, of course, but when you saw this, I can't imagine you were too surprised, but how'd you feel about it?
I think it was further confirmation from what I'm personally feeling and decisions that I'm making moving forward. Let me set the stage a little bit. So I got to meet Jean Scott last year and her husband Brad at Zorkfest. They were speakers, presenters, and unbelievably lovely people. Jean Scott is now in her 80s. We had a very nice conversation. She actually sat in on my session and came up to me afterwards and made it a point to say that she learned things from me. So if I could teach Jean Scott a thing or two, I felt like that was the high point for me. I don't have much further to go from there. But aside from being incredibly humbled and proud in that moment, we talked about the game as a whole. And she said to me, "You know, I'm slowing down. We're not as young as we used to be, but as long as the math is right, I'm going to keep playing the game." In that moment, I thought to myself, well, the math isn't as right as it used to be. And it's entirely possible that the game is changing in a way that makes it less worthwhile. Not worthless, but less worthwhile. And when I saw that Jean announced her retirement and that she's leaving Nevada, I think she's moving to Georgia to be with her family. I think the point that I was trying to make is the thought that the juice is not worth the squeeze is one that's spreading, and it's spreading to very intelligent people or through very intelligent people. And I think when you see people make that decision, doesn't have to be your decision, but it is at least noteworthy. Captain Jack Andrews quickly chimed in saying that he didn't appreciate this spin, and I have nothing but respect for Captain Jack. He is right far more often than wrong. And he said, you know, they're in their 80s. Like, people retiring in their 80s doesn't mean that the game has changed. And I'm paraphrasing his reply as well. And he said something to the effect of APs have to adapt or die. And Jean adapted for a long time and then decided that she doesn't want to adapt anymore. I think I'm to the point that I don't want to adapt anymore. I think that the amount of work needed in order to generate enough EV to spend time, it's not worth it. And I was never a true AP. A true AP is looking for cash. They're looking for a professional AP is looking to be able to live off of what they're doing. I was looking for lifestyle. I was looking for vacations and travel and treatment that were above and beyond what my expected loss would be. Every year gets a little bit tighter. There are new opportunities every year as well. It could just be a function of I'm a little bit older every year and I'm not willing to grind as much every year. But I'm personally finding it less and less worthwhile to spend my time and money in casinos outside of recreational activity. And I used to find recreation within the grind, but the grind has really taken over and there's just not as much there as there used to be. And maybe it's to the casino's credit that they remove people like me. They make it difficult to the point that I just go away. I've never been thrown out of a place. I've never had to deal with an ugly confrontation due to gamesmanship, so to speak. But it's not worth it. So at least for me, for those of you that continue to go regularly and you have your games or your ability to extract, whether it be value or cash from the casino, good for you. I'm rooting for you. But I think I'm with Gene on this one. I'm not moving away, and I'm not going to stop going to the D a couple of times a year. They still treat me incredibly well.
Eric always good for a couple trips at the D.
I've had this conversation over and over again in 2019 with the people that I consider to be in the same the game within the game, as it's called. And we've all kind of come to the same conclusion. We'll maintain our recreational trips a few times a year. But for a long time, I was going weekly. And going weekly, assuming you don't have a gambling problem, requires that you have an angle where you think you're going to get ahead.
Yeah.
I don't see it right now. I don't have it. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm saying for what I'm willing to do, it's not apparent to me. And I'm not going to create one. It isn't worth it.
So do you I'm sure some listeners listening to that, like, is Eric announcing his retirement from gambling? Is that what's going on right now?
Not from gambling, just to be clear, gambling, but from the regular casino action that was used to derive positive expected value. Yeah, I think I'm done. I don't think it's worth it. The amount that you have to risk for what you get isn't worth it anymore.
Yeah. So is this commentary on casino industry overall? Are you specifically talking about the major markets? Are you specifically talking about Vegas? Define that.
There's always games that can be played in the short run for new casinos or new markets, things of that nature. Atlantic City for me isn't really worth it anymore as a hustle. I'm still, if you tell me you're going to be in Atlantic City and I'm free, I will make it a point to be there and I will meet you at a craps table and I will play. My days of going there because I think I can accumulate enough points or accumulate enough comps for it to be worth my time, I think are over. I think they continue to reduce what they offer to bring you back in. And I think we've crossed a threshold where if I evaluate the value of my time and I'm doing this as a hustle and not as recreational activity, it's no longer worth my time anymore.
Yeah. So let's I kind of want your thoughts on things like what's the right word? Like points of no return, right? Triple Zero, I think, in a way, is a point of no return, right? There are places like the Plaza, right, getting the single zero. But once one place on the strip has Triple Zero and shows they can fill a table, I mean, it's not going to be long before every casino has at least one, right, one table.
Can I give you an unpopular thought on Triple Zero Roulette?
Yeah.
So for me, it's a no-go. I'll never play it. I don't think it's a terrible idea for strip casinos to have it because they offer it at a lower minimum. And these non-gamblers who are just there kind of pissing their money away to be entertained, it'll probably last a little bit longer on a triple zero table because instead of a $25 minimum, they're getting a $10 minimum.
Sure. I don't disagree. How long until there's an establishment where there are no tables and that the only way to play a table game is through electronic or stadium gaming? I'm talking like an establishment in a maybe not like a one-off or something like that, but like, you know, we're a casino in one of the major markets or at least in a more trafficked area where you can't sit down at a table to play a table game. You have to play electronic or stadium.
I think you'll always have some regular table games. I think the minimums for them are going to continue to rise.
Yeah.
I think they're going to continue to look at labor cost, and you'll see less and less of them. It may only be in the high limit room, and what constitutes a high limit table might go up. They'll probably still offer them at least through our lifetime. But you'll probably see far less tables available as time goes on, especially on the main floor.
Is there a bubble to this? So let's think about how much gambling is expanding right now, right? Especially with the boom that sports betting is giving markets and states on bringing people to the casino. We all want mobile betting, but for those places that don't have mobile betting, for people that's not important, sports betting is bringing them into the casino. And so there's an increased number of patronage, or at least expected an increased number of patronage. And then, you know, the games are the offers are weaning a little bit and stuff like that. But is there a bubble to where that's happening so much and the competition is getting a little stiffer, a little harder? They're having a hard time squeezing it to where they have to pull back a little bit and another door opens. Do you think we're going to see a sort of do you think there's a chance where there's this bubble where almost industry-wide there becomes more opportunities, or it's just going to be these one-offs like that casino needed it, that casino needed it, that casino needed it?
I think it's going to flow in line with the economy.
Okay.
I think we've had a very strong economy for a very long time, for an extended period of time now. And the next recession, you're going to see the demand shift considerably. And I think when that happens, different operators handle it differently. There will be new opportunities that come out because they'll need to differentiate themselves for that same gaming revenue. There may be an increase in marketing dollars spent. You know, they're all going to have their same fixed overhead. They can't do much about that. It's the variable overhead that they're going to have to, you know, kind of redesign to try to get more money in the door.
Yeah.
And they're going to pull from one area to place it in another. So, you know, you will typically see a differentiation at that point, and depending upon how they're going to deploy those, whether it be marketing dollars, any expenditure, really, that's going to create opportunities in some areas and shut other things and take other jobs away.
Yeah. Inside the casino, and you and I were in that automation, that service versus automation session at G2E. In that conversation, and or anything else as you're seeing, what type of automation that's either being employed now or you see on the cusp of being employed that you are most like what are you most apprehensive about being being put into place?
Apprehensive about
like what makes you kind of sneer like ugh that like yeah. Yeah.
Front desk people being pulled for more kiosks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening. It's going to continue to happen. I don't want to offend anybody who is a union member, but that's a thing. And the way that they're doing away with unions or lessening the grip of unions is by lessening the amount of employees that they have. So perhaps rightfully so, the union is making it so that the people that remain employed are treated better, but there will be fewer and fewer of them, not necessarily because of them, but not because of them.
Yeah. It's for me, it's the drink service robots. Like –
Do you – okay, so we saw a drink service robot.
Yeah.
All right. Let's be real. You're going to have drunk people walking around a casino.
Yeah.
Do you really think that a robot is going to be able to deal with – I mean, you know, I think conceptually it's a great idea. I think I've been in enough casinos on a Friday or Saturday night where people are drunk and doing stupid things to realize that that robot is in for a rough evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like – that's part of the casino experience that I enjoy, right? Like I said, you know, going to this whole – like going back to just the recreation of going to a casino. Part of my casino experience that I enjoy the most is sitting at a table – for an expected decent session, right? Hour, maybe 2 hours, and putting in a drink order, having it brought to me, tipping my waitress, like that, like I enjoy that whole process. The one part of the automation, one bit of automation that I appreciate during the drink ordering process is when you're at a machine, you can actually, and I think Caesars has this type of technology in a lot of their machines, like, and I'm sure other places do too. I'm just thinking of Harris Philly was the last place that I used this. You know, you put in your drink order on the machine and then a human brings it. I like that just as much as I like telling a human what I want. Now that you realize this, right? Like now that you're coming to this realization of like, yeah, I don't have the time to like put into this. How does that affect your, right? Because when you're into that stuff, you're into it, right? You're constantly looking for it. You're constantly thinking about it. You like you said, you have to put in the time actually to actually apply what you've learned and what you know. Does that now with some of that being removed, or all of that being removed, that looking at gambling through that lens, does it all affect your enjoyment, or does it actually give you the opportunity to actually just relax and enjoy gambling as a recreation again?
Yeah, probably the latter.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually thinking the other day, I haven't been on a craps table since we were in Vegas together, and I was like, you know, I could probably do that. And I'm working out of a new office, which is a half hour from a non-Atlantic City casino that I have not gone to in a long time. And I thought, you know, a couple of guys that I work with that like to play craps, I might just take a long lunch one day and just go for lunch and have a good time.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we joked about Vito earlier. It's not the same as what we're talking about, but I think the sentiment's sort of the same. I remember late last year, early this year, I was talking to I was messaging Vito back and forth about things coming up, and I remember him saying, he's like, I kind of just want to gamble for fun again.
Yeah.
And it really. Like, I hadn't thought about that since I had started the podcast, but when gambling has a purpose, right? Whether it's comp hustling or content creation or an advantage play or whatever it may be, whether you're a recreational player or someone who actually enjoys gambling when you get deep into that, you kind of lose some of that, some of the fun that gambling can bring along with it. It made me think of that when we were talking about,
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll use a Tony Snyder phrase, man behind the curtain. When you are creating content weekly, that means you are generally looking for content weekly.
Yeah.
Which means every gambling trip is also a content creation trip. And while in and of itself it really isn't a burden of any type, it definitely changes the way you think about your actions and what you're doing going forward.
Yep.
So, yeah, it would be nice to just have a gambling trip be a gambling trip and not involve there's quite a bit that would go into looking for the play and how does this work, and then what does the math look like on that. And I'll still do it to an extent because I don't want to just make sucker plays, but honestly, with the exception of the D and Golden Gate, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to call it New Fitzgeralds. I don't have anything that's worth the time that I have to put into it. And to be clear, and I don't know of a humble way to say this, so I'm going to ask for your forgiveness in advance.
Okay.
If you're looking to replace a $40,000 a year job or a $50,000 a year job, you probably can still just hustle at the casino and make more. At a certain point, the grind isn't worth it. If I put half the time into the hustle as I put into my business, I'd be better off.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, the opportunity cost isn't there.
Yeah.
Or the opportunity cost is there, and that's the problem, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. And it makes it less fun to be in the casino.
Yep.
Right. Did you happen to listen to the, maybe not the latest Gambling with an Edge, the one prior, the week one of their mailbag?
No, I'm so backed up on Gambling with an Edge.
So they were talking about how they can't, they don't make a living either doing the podcast or writing the books or, none of that has really brought them material value. It's just made them better at what they do, where they get their money. And they were talking about, a hustle at being worth $50 an hour. I think it was a card counter. Well, if $50 an hour is going to make a difference to you, then by all means, I think you should do it. If $50 an hour is not more than the opportunity cost of your time, then you shouldn't do it.
Yep.
And, I wouldn't say Gene Scott retiring was the spark, because the conversation has been happening for 6 to 9 months, I would say. Maybe it's there for some people. It's not there for me anymore.
Yeah. I get you. Okay. You texted me, we texted each other, Eric. You texted me yesterday, I think it was. You texted me a picture of someone who had tweeted about a bet that they had, and the amount which they wagered was about the same. If you got a really fancy coffee at Starbucks, it might cost the same amount of money.
I've definitely paid more at Starbucks for a coffee than that bet was for.
Yeah. And you joked, or probably not joked, probably serious. Can we all agree to a minimum bet required for posting? Here's my thing. I don't like the putting a value on a bet thing at all on Twitter anyways. Because it's all like... So one thing that used to make me so mad about people who hated touts was... I can't remember who it was for, but someone was like, "Hey, you're so many, like, you're $40,000 in the hole for your bettors," because they just automatically applied $1,000 to the wagers. Now maybe people might be wagering that, and if you're 40 units, you know, in the red, that's not good.
especially if you're paying for it.
Right, exactly. But like, there was no proof. There was not the $1,000 was them applying to it to make it look worse, right? And then I've seen it on the other side where actual touts or people selling picks want to make their winning look better than it is, and they apply a large dollar amount to it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you don't have the money to wager that much. Maybe your clients do, but I doubt you do. The whole unit thing is probably like the great equalizer of it all, right? Like saying like, "Oh, I put a unit on this or five units on that." But even then, like, whatever. There's so many voices out there. So many people. Like, tell your clients how many units. Tell the people who are actually paying attention. Like when, Sports Cheetah? What's his actual name? He's been on the freaking show. Why Preston Johnson? When Preston Johnson tweets and includes a unit, that makes sense because he knows that half his followers are following whatever he tweets out, right? But if you're just trying to get people to pay attention or notice what you're doing, you don't put out a dollar amount. And if you do, it probably should not. If it's below the $100 threshold, I don't think it's worth posting. And unless you're actually delivering to an audience who you're confident is and when I say delivering to an audience, I mean like a lot of people. I'm not talking about a few people who like tweet at you back saying like, "Oh, hey, great, you know, good, great job on that pick," or whatever. We all have those. We all say that to each other. That's a part of gambling Twitter, those engagements. Post what you like and just leave it at that. You don't have to put values in it, whatever. Anyways, thanks for coming to my Twitter gambling TED Talk.
Well, so I agree with you in general, but I think specifically posting your $5 bet or your $2 bet or your $7 bet, I'm not going to lie. Like, I get aggravated by it. I do, and I don't care what you bet or that you bet, quite frankly, but like a ticket for $5 coming across my timeline or newsfeed or whatever the hell they call that thing, like even if it's just a half a second, it's a half a second of my life I'll never have back. And I do. Like, if it were the exact same bet and it was a $500 bet or a $5,000 bet, I'd look at it differently. The fact that somebody deems $5 to be a credible bet, that's totally fine. I think everybody should bet within their limits and with whatever makes them comfortable. And I don't think for a second that that person shouldn't make that $5 bet. Don't show it to me.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, I mean, like, let me put some perspective on that. Imagine you had the other side of the bet.
So that was just exactly what I was going to say.
Okay. And you just lost a multitude of whatever was bet. We're talking multiple zeros. And then this asshole with a $5 bet comes across your timeline. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And if it was somebody who also had the opposite side of the bet, but at least it was, can we make it $50? Can it be don't post a ticket unless it's $50? Or to win $50? You know, like, and just to be clear, like, I had no action. So this, the one that sparked the conversation, it wasn't an oppo bet. It was just a bet. But it happens sometimes where you're like, Jesus Christ. Am I allowed to say Jesus Christ on here? Was that offensive?
Well, I mean, it is his birthday on the day of this release, so.
I apologize to anybody that may have offended. I didn't mean it that way. Mm-hmm. We just say it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. Don't waste my time with your $5 bet. Even like, there's got to be something super unique. Like the guy who I can't even think of an example. Just don't post your $5 bets.
Now, if you made a $5 part like 10-team parlay, that's gonna score you $23,000, and you've hit 8 legs, a little more acceptable.
I think if your two win is $50 or more, it's fine.
Okay.
A $5 one game chalk bet to win $2.30. I'd prefer you not be on my timeline.
Get off of my timeline.
I muted them. I didn't block them. I muted them.
It's the new old man. Instead of get off my lawn, it's get off my timeline.
I'm totally that guy.
Yeah.
I'm totally that guy.
Stupid millennials, get off my lawn.
I'm gonna sit there with a shotgun looking at Twitter on my cell phone.
Where are my shoes?
I do misplace my shoes. It does happen. And they're rather large. So it's like, it's you wouldn't think it would be possible, but it is.
Yeah. I could run in circles and just repeat the same things. So I'm not going to, but I am with you on that. Again, but to your point, we're not saying that it's not worth making those bets. Make them. I made a bunch of $5 bets and sent them to people as Christmas presents.
By the way, the bet that you made for me, was that the same bet that you made for people?
Or no, did you everybody got a different bet.
Okay, so was there any significance to the Netherlands?
Not too much. It was, I made two. So I did Netherlands and Croatia. And cause it was the two teams that were long enough odds to be exciting that I thought could compete.
Okay. So this was a value bet. It had nothing. It had nothing to do with the team specifically. It was the value relative to your ranking.
Yep, the only bets that I made where value really wasn't considered was in the NFL, just because I had to make multiple NFL bets, and there's no more value to be had in NFL. Right, so I feel so there is one of you got a Ravens plus +250 to win the Super Bowl, so I hope you get the opportunity to cash your $12 ticket.
So the,
I thought that was kind of funny.
The only one that you missed that I – well, not that you missed. I guess that I missed that I was sure was going to be in here was some reference to Rapinoe.
You know, I didn't. I couldn't make up my mind fast enough, and I didn't want to get too far behind on paralysis by analysis. So,
got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I thought about it, but I couldn't make up my mind fast enough. For those of you that have the one of those wagers, though, one of those futures wagers, if yours cashes, of course, there's instructions on the back of your ticket of how you can mail that in, or I'm happy to do that as well for you. You can let me know when it cashes. Let me know, hey, I have that ticket. You can send it over to me, and I'll go cash that for you.
Wow. He is volunteering to go to West Virginia for you people. That is unreal. That is that is quite the better Santa.
That's right.
We don't have any listeners in West Virginia, do we?
I don't know. Not anymore. We don't.
Do they? I don't think they have the internet in West Virginia.
I think we lost them. I think we lost them a few months ago. So, by the way, I learned recently that I'm going to be an uncle in 2020.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. And I sent my brother-in-law a gift instead of a gag box that says baby's first gambling set. So I thought that was funny.
That's funny.
He will also find it funny. My parents-in-laws may not find it as funny, but... he'll find it funny. That's all that matters.
Well, you know, if he needs a referral to somebody who uses gambling techniques to teach their children math, you know, feel free to send him my number.
That's actually one of the things on the box is, hey, they need to learn to count. Why not count cards?
It's not untrue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's actually not that they gamble. We don't use any money, but for addition – learning blackjack is actually quite helpful.
Yeah.
Before they're able to count quite that high, using dice as a tool to help them learn counting is very, very useful.
Look at how much trouble grown adults have counting their blackjack hands at the table.
My 8-year-old can just look at a hand. You could deal out 5 hands and he could keep a count the whole time. So you mentioned that you learned that you're going to be an uncle.
Yes.
I got an interesting Christmas letter from a lovely lady.
You could be a father again. Sorry. I'll edit that out.
Well, I mean, the letter was from your wife. So you can keep that in or leave it. That's up to
you. Now it's definitely
Might be funnier now if you leave it.
That's true. It might be funnier
I got a lovely Christmas letter.
Yes.
Updated me on the 2019 for the Lawson family.
That's right.
And in this letter, I found out that I co-host a podcast with an Emmy Award winner. How the fuck did I not know about this? How did I learn this from a Christmas letter?
So it was when you started texting me that I was like, I guess I really didn't talk about it much. My wife was like, no, you didn't. And I was like, yeah, I guess not. So
you won a fucking Emmy, Tim.
Yeah.
I made him send me a picture with him in it to prove it. Not that I would think that the better wife would lie about such a thing.
Sure.
But for somebody to not mention winning a fucking Emmy.
So the reason why Okay. One, it's a regional Emmy. Still an Emmy. I get it. But it's a regional Emmy. And I don't know. I don't know why I didn't talk about it much. So when I was at the Department of Veterans Affairs, me and our video producer, our main video producer at VA, went up to Brooklyn. And we went to... By the way, non-gambling content for at least the next 5 minutes, just to warn everybody. We went up to Gleason's Boxing Gym. Now, Gleason's Boxing Gym is historic in New York. It used to be – its original location was over by the Garden, and that's when a young gentleman by the name of Cassius Clay was training there. Of course, boxing gyms, of course, can't compete with real estate markets, and so Gleason's has had to move several times, and in that – right before it left that area by the garden, and then moving over to Brooklyn, it came under the management of, and I can't remember his name right now, but a Vietnam veteran who was in the boxing world at that point. And he still runs it now. And the reason why we were up there is we learned that the Manhattan Veterans Affairs Medical Center had a partnership with Gleason's Boxing Gym that veterans that got cleared by the VA could go train, not like spar or box. Like, we're not promoting veterans, you know, going and like getting blows to the head, right? But they could go train as sort of an outlet, a physical outlet, and some camaraderie with other people. And we thought it was a cool story, so we went up there. It's in the Dumbo area. And we spent a day up there filming at Gleason's. And I helped with a little bit of the filming. I did more, you know, I got some B-roll shots. And then I did a lot of the interviewing when we were doing the interviews. And then his name is Ben Pekkanen, the guy that I worked with. He did an amazing job editing it. I mean, it's just a phenomenal job. And I think that's why I didn't talk about it as much, is I felt like the reason it was so good was because of how he edited it. And so, in a moment of humility, I was like, yeah, this is more his than it is mine. But, you know, I did help with production. I did help, you know, with everything. So I'm not discrediting myself, but I was a little more humble about that than I am other things. But it got nominated for a, I don't know, I can't remember what this region's Emmy is called. It's something Chesapeake Bay, whatever, Academy, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it won an Emmy in 2019.
Can I give you my version of winning an Emmy?
Sure.
I had a good run at a casino, and I decided I was going to go see what I could buy at the local pawn shop. I procured an Emmy from a pawn shop outside of an Atlantic City casino.
Did you really?
I did.
Huh.
It was not an Emmy for anything that I had ever heard of before.
Right.
But it was an Emmy. You were actually awarded a fucking Emmy and you didn't tell anybody.
It's true. Okay. I feel like of all the things for me to be chastised about,
something. Yes, win. Yes. Yes. Winning an Emmy is what you're being chastised about. Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for the lovely letter and picture. Please send my holiday wishes to the better wife.
I will.
And to Driver.
Of course. Yeah. let me read the just out of the blue. Haven't texted him. Well, I guess we texted a little bit later earlier that day, but just out of the blue. You have an Emmy? ! Yep. How did I not know that? I need a picture of you with the statue. And then you're like, is this okay to discuss publicly? I imagine you asked that because you didn't hear me talk about it. And maybe
you never, like, all right, I don't think I make like the short list, right? Like, your wife and your mother should know before I know that you won an Emmy. I think I'm on the list of people that should know you won an Emmy.
That's true. That's true. I failed you. I apologize.
You failed me. I mean, if I win Student of the Month, I'm not taking classes anymore. But you know what I mean. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I won Student of the Month.
Yeah, I got more questions if you win Student of the Month. Well, very good. Well, I will post the video that won an Emmy so everybody can see what we're referring to. So I thought it was done. I thought it was really well done. And I'm glad it got the recognition that it deserved. Okay, back to gambling. So I've had a few people, few listeners, suggest some sort of listener interactive opportunity for like an episode or something like that. And I was thinking about it and I was like, okay. So Tim Ferriss is a gentleman that I've been following for a while. He's He's sort of in the entrepreneur self-help realm. At least that's where he gets categorized.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. And
changed
on his,
my life, by the way.
Yeah. 4-hour work week was definitely like my gateway to a lot of that way of thinking. And on his podcast, The Tim Ferriss Show, he's done a couple episodes where he's called listeners and allowed them to ask him a question. And throughout the episode, he is enjoying adult beverages, right? So it's both informative and entertaining. So I was like, that's kind of a fun, like, I kind of like that idea. So what I would like to talk to listeners about, if I have enough people interested in this, what I would like to talk to listeners about is like a reflection of 2019 of your gambling, and then a sort of look ahead to 2020. What are you doing differently? Eric, you just gave us a great example. Not chasing down the AP stuff as much anymore, right? Like settling for some recreational stuff, just enjoying gambling again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have these conversations with people. So now, to give it our own spin, Eric, I'm going to apply a little bit of a gamble to the drinking portion of this endeavor with two things that I have. One, I have this drinking roulette game that at least one person in the Better Santa participation got, where there's about 20-something shot glasses that all are assigned one or two numbers on the roulette wheel, and then there's a standard little roulette. So here's what I'm going to do. Oh, and the other item that I have to add to this, about 10 years ago, that's right, 10 years ago, I was given a going-away present from Marine Detachment Moscow of Red Army vodka in sort of this artillery shell shaped bottle. And I'm yet to, like, I've never opened it. It's probably has not aged well. I am going to begin the night by filling half the shot glasses with vodka and half the shot glasses with water. I don't know, maybe before every phone call or maybe every 10 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever I feel like doing, I will spin and I will take a shot of whatever is in said glass, and we'll see how long. Look, it could be a short night quickly, but yes, that's what I'm going to do. Eric, do you have any interest in being involved in this endeavor?
Sure. I've agreed to stupider.
Okay. So I don't quite know which night I'm not doing this more than one night. I don't know what night we can make this happen, but if you would like to participate in a conversation with at least myself, possibly myself and Eric, talking about looking back at your 2019, looking forward to your 2020, and gambling, casino, whatever it may be, let me know. You can either tweet at us, erosenthal1029, or at The Better Life, or you can shoot us an email. What email are you giving people right now? Or are you not giving people an email?
I guess best to reach me on Twitter at erosenthal1029.
Okay. And then also gamble@lostinentertainment.com. You can shoot me an email there if that works well, works better for you. Anyways, just hey, I'm interested in the listener conversations, phone call or episode. And we'll get something. If we get at least, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 people, it'll probably be worth it more, you know, the more the better. And then once we have an idea, I'll set something up so people can sort of submit how we can contact it. It'll either be through Skype or a phone call, something like that. So that's what we're going to try to do. We'll see if we can make it happen. Could be fun, could be a disaster. I don't know. That's the gamble. That's the gamble, Eric.
That's the gamble.
Yeah. book club people should have gotten their copy of Whale Hunt in the Desert. So thank you to everybody who participates in the Better Life Book Club on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show. Thank you, everybody who contributes monthly to that. now that the Better Santa is over, I think the next like mass participation thing that I'm going to have is probably be March Madness. We'll definitely have some sort of pool or something going on for March Madness. I think that wraps it up. Mississippi Rob doing a little footwork on doing some research on where we might be able to hold a podcast recording, a live podcast recording during the April unnamed trip. So that is something that may – that's something we're hoping to put into that. And Mississippi Rob is doing some of the legwork on that. So thank you to him for taking the lead.
Thank you, Rob. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That was the one thing that everybody agreed on, because you know, we talked about trips and like what people care about when they go to these things. It was the one thing that people did say they like the idea of being able to attend a live recording, and so we're gonna see if we can make that happen. We'll see. Otherwise, it'll be 2 days full of gambling in Biloxi. Am I missing anything, Eric?
In fairness to the people that want to show up, I'm much more handsome over a microphone. I won't speak for Tim, but I'm much better looking audibly.
Word.
He said word.
Word. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
Any glaring news or anything from the? Oh, what? One more thing I need to bring up. Was it a week or two? It was during the off week. By the way, sorry to everybody for not putting out that there wasn't going to be an episode last week. I didn't really realize that we weren't going to be able to get an episode out till it was like Thursday night, and even then I still kind of had like unreasonable expectations to possibly get one out. So a week just went by with no episode, but I think it was during the week that we were out, and of course now I had it pulled up earlier and now I'm not going to be able to find it. The Cosmopolitan tweeted out a photo of a young woman standing at a roulette table with the caption, "When life hands you the dice, you roll them."
Mm-hmm.
Could there be a more glaring example of casino marketing, casino social media not knowing shit about casinos?
I mean, they're all pretty glaring examples that they don't know what they're doing. They don't value the department. We've spoken about this before. It's, mock them on Twitter and move on.
Yeah. I mean, when life buys in during a roll, you cuss it out. That was the other caption I wanted them to consider.
Good.
No. Good. Eric's like, good. End the show. Damn it.
I thought we were done 10 minutes ago.
We were done 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I think we were.
Yeah. Very well. I'm Tim Lawson on behalf of Eric Rosenthal. Good night. Good luck.
Happy Mary, everybody.
Happy Mary.